Now that you're all convinced that FAST is useless in kids, we've asked Dr. Andy Miller to take the hard side of the argument. We think probably an easy sell for him. He's a pediatric emergency medicine physician that's been kind enough to come over from Boston Children's and educate us on why we've not been successful with FAST exams in kids.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm here to discuss the utility of the focused assessment with sonography and trauma examination, also known as the FAST examination, as you all know. So I have no disclosures to discuss today. I will say, though, as you just heard, that I am a pediatric emergency medicine physician presenting at an American College of Surgeons meeting, so you should take that for what it's worth. I will also state that all the images you'll see in this presentation were obtained at the bedside in patients in our emergency department. So the objectives today are to review the test characteristics of the FAST exam in pediatric trauma, and I think you've already heard some of this from Dr. Skeif, also discussing the utility of the pediatric FAST exam, and most importantly, to encourage the continued use of the FAST exam as a data point in pediatric trauma. So I'm going to start off initially by discussing an imperfect test, as you've already heard. So we're going to discuss briefly ultrasound for appendicitis. As a side note, so briefly, a patient with right lower quadrant pain and fever for 36 hours comes in, has an ultrasound, as you see depicted here, doesn't visualize the appendix. So we all know that the sensitivity is approximately 70% in multi-centered studies of ultrasound for appendicitis, but is it helpful? I would argue it is, really depending on lots of other characteristics of the patient, the history, the exam, as well as the labs, the white count being 4 or 14. All of these things play into whether or not this equivocal ultrasound is helpful. Some may still go on to get further cross-sectional imaging, or you guys may all take them to the operating room for an appendectomy, or maybe this patient maybe improved a little bit, their white count's 4, and maybe you decide that, hey, they can go home with good anticipatory guidance after the PO challenge in the emergency department. So now we're going to talk about the FAST examination. I'm going to discuss kind of three separate cases to kind of illustrate the use of FAST exam in pediatric trauma. So I'll give you an example of a child who was involved in a high-speed motor vehicle accident, who has abdominal pain, comes into your emergency department, has stable vitals, but has pretty notable abdominal tenderness on their examination. You perform a FAST exam, and as you see depicted here, this is a representative view of the right upper quadrant, showing the diaphragm here, no fluid above or below, nothing throughout Morrison's pouch, and you're getting a good view of the inferior pole of the liver and the kidney. So what are the next steps for this patient? I would argue that this patient, pretty high risk, has a high mechanism injury, has notable abdominal tenderness, probably still needs cross-sectional imaging immediately in the trauma bay in the next, you know, coming hours while they're there, and basing decisions of disposition based on that. However, the next patient I'll describe to you is a child with a minor fall off a bike who had abdominal pain at the scene, has stable vitals on arrival, no abdominal tenderness that's really appreciable on your examination, and not really complaining at this point in time. The FAST examination is performed and it's negative. Again, a representative right upper quadrant view, here identical to the previous view you saw in the previous case. So the next steps for this patient. I think this is the patient that essentially FAST can be helpful for and additive in terms of the rest of the history, the mechanism, low risk, relatively reassuring, and now you have a FAST exam that's normal with no free fluid. So likely I would say this patient could potentially be observed briefly in the emergency department and hopefully home with all the additive things that depending on your institution, whether you do labs and other things to assess their risk. So the next case is very similar, that same patient with a minor fall from a bike accident who had abdominal pain at the scene, stable vitals on arrival, really has no appreciable tenderness, but then you have a FAST exam that's positive. And so when you can see here in the right upper quadrant view, and this is representative of the rest of the FAST, this is dark anechoic free fluid encompassing the liver tip as well as throughout Morrison's pouch here. So what are the next steps for this patient? Despite the fact that they're probably relatively low risk, based on mechanism, minimally impressive exam, they have a positive FAST, which suggests likely that they have some sort of intra-abdominal injury. I would argue this patient should go on to have further cross-sectional imaging to determine their disposition. So first we'll talk about a little bit about the test characteristics, as you've already heard. The sensitivity, really depending on which study you look, ranges really from somewhere in the 30% range all the way up to 100%, and that really comes from whether this is retrospective, prospective, who's doing the ultrasound or not. in looking through the kind of studies that I view as probably important, it probably rests somewhere in the 50% range in terms of the sensitivity for FAST in pediatric trauma for intra-abdominal injury. Now, that being said, that means that that may not be helpful in the patient who is at substantial or moderate risk of intra-abdominal injury based on all the other factors like you would obtain in terms of exam mechanism or labs. But that being said, it may be helpful in those lower risk patients who we all know still likely get CT'd at some institutions despite the fact that they're low risk. In fact, even many of the studies done by Holmes most recently, Dr. Skeif, showed a fair proportion of those patients who were at exceedingly low risk still got CT'd. So there's probably a use for FAST in those patients. Now moving on to the specificity, it's exceedingly good. So if you see free fluid on a FAST examination, the likelihood that it's there is exceedingly high. So the specificity is somewhere north of 90%, probably not quite 100%. So now moving on to a subset of patients. So the hypotensive patient, this comes out of a single study by Holmes that essentially looked at pediatric trauma patients who were hypotensive on arrival to the emergency department. And the sensitivity and specificity for free fluid is approximately 100%. Obviously, this is low numbers. As we all know, this is actually a rare event. But when you, this makes me feel that when I see this FAST exam, this is a demonstrative view of the sagittal view of the pelvis with the bladder represented here, encompassed in free fluid, and this is quite a large amount of free fluid. So when I see this, I say, well, this person probably, you know, needs more intervention, CT versus OR, and I can start medically resuscitating them at the bedside with the trauma surgeon next to me. However, if I don't see this, it really makes me pause and say, you know, if it's not in the belly, where else am I needing to look? Do I need to look for neurogenic shock? Do I need to look for other forms of obstructive shock? Something else that's causing this patient to be so clinically unstable. So in my mind, this is an excellent test, probably when you need it the most in the most critically ill children, and essentially gives you a lot of information when you're standing at the foot of the bedside and you can't get them to the scanner quite yet. This is a rare event, but in my mind, to learn just on these patients would be exceedingly challenging because it's such a rare event. And so if you never perform a FAST exam with the exception of this patient, you're probably going to be less proficient in terms of interpreting this FAST examination. So lastly, these next two slides, I'm just going to discuss briefly that the FAST examination gives you a lot more information than just the belly. I think it's frequently studied related to just the abdomen. However, this is a representative image of a left upper quadrant view with the spleen here, the diaphragm sitting above, and then you see a large amount of anechoic free fluid above the diaphragm, which this would represent in a patient with blunt trauma, possible hemothorax. The next image, I will say, is a subcostal view, looking through the liver, seen here, getting a nice cardiac window. And essentially, this heart is encased in fluid, suggestive of a pericardial effusion, or in a patient with blunt trauma, suggestive of possible hemopericardium. All things that I think at the foot of the bed you would appreciate knowing sooner rather than later, and I think it has helped me in the past. And last but not least, the FAST exam, also coined as EFAST or extended FAST, is now incorporated, looking at the anterior view of the chest to rule out pneumothorax. And this has actually been proven in adult studies, not yet in pediatrics, that this is better than the supine chest radiograph when you can't sit that patient up. So this is a representative view of the lung sliding present. And as you can see, this is the pleural line demonstrated here, followed by a rib shadow here. And you can see the lung sliding is present here, representative of no pneumothorax. And then on the right, you see the pleural line that's not moving at all, suggestive of lack of lung sliding, representative of a pneumothorax, which would potentially prompt intervention. So the takeaway points for this are, at the end of the day, you need to understand the limitations of FAST and how to apply it, just like any test. It's likely helpful in a certain subset of patients. However, if you only perform the FAST examination in the most critically ill patients, it is unlikely to be useful, given that you won't be proficient in it. It does take quite a bit of practice. The FAST exam is also not just the abdomen, despite the fact that it's always focused on the abdomen. It gives you a lot of information about the thorax in terms of high-stakes injuries that, although are rare, I would like to know if I'm standing at the foot of the bed. And at the end of the day, it's a single piece of a larger puzzle of all patients' care. We rarely use a single test in a vacuum and without other aspects of care. So whether it's your history, your exam, labs, or other imaging, it's a larger piece of the puzzle. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Dr. Miller for speaking. We have about 5 minutes for questions on our comments from the audience on FAST, and then we're going to turn it over to our neurosurgeon after that.
There was a little data when FAST was first coming out in the early 2000s suggesting that the problem is it takes a certain amount of fluid to be able to pick it up on a FAST. And in a younger child, I think the age that was quoted in one article I remember was less than 10, the patient would probably be hypotensive by the time you saw the fluid. Can you comment on that? I mean, is it just some of the problems that just trying to do these in young kids and you're just not seeing the small amount of fluid you typically see?
I'm happy to take that. Yes, I agree. There is a certain amount of fluid that is likely needed. It's not clearly been demonstrated in a true pediatric population what that fluid, the amount of fluid that's necessary. In adults, I believe it's somewhere in the 100 to 150 cc's, but I'm not 100% sure on that. At the end of the day, I think as Dr. Scaife said, a large proportion of pediatric patients actually don't even have free fluid, so somewhere in a quarter to a third plus, and we know that pretty well. I think it's all a function of taking that test with a grain of salt and understanding the rest of the patient's characteristics to be able to interpret that test in a meaningful way. I don't know if that, does that answer your question? Yeah, it's a good point. I think in general, I think we've realized in our institution that the guidelines for ASEP, the American College of Emergency Physicians, is somewhere in the range of 25 to 50 scans for FAST to become competent and proficient. I would say in reality, it's likely more than that, and I would say probably a decent amount more than that. I would say somewhere north of 100 scans. And then the bigger issue that we've actually come into contact with is that if, say, for example, you're a clinician that maybe does a little bit more research and maybe haven't seen a trauma patient in 4 months or something, if you don't do it frequently, I do think that you lose touch with your ability to be proficient in it and understanding that there are subtleties to it. And I would recommend that despite the fact that in many, and not necessarily many, in some circumstances, it will not necessarily change what you do. Like I said, I demonstrated a case that I think still should go on to have a CT. I think at the end of the day, I think is you understanding those positive findings that you're going to see, understanding the negatives and the subtleties of the differences. I think the more you can do, even if it, you know it's probably not going to change your management, will likely help some patients, and particularly those subsets of patients that are probably more on the lower risk, bringing them to even exceedingly low risk, and then the high-risk patients really understanding what's going on and what's causing their shock, if that makes sense.
I do think that brings up a point, though, about one of the challenges with how we study FAST is like Dr. Scaife points out, it's so rare that there's actually an indication for it. But at the same time, in the pediatric population, at the same time, I think our practice is probably very similar to your practice, where basically everybody gets a FAST just because they come into the ER. You're trying to become more and more facile with how you do it. So, you know, trying to figure out how truly efficacious the FAST is challenging when it's not being done for, you know, true clinical indications. And just one other comment, I do think, you know, there's a tremendous amount of variability in the way that we apply FAST and our skills at applying FAST, but I do think that our trainees are much more facile with ultrasound in general. Certainly than I am or was. I mean, they now apply it in obtaining vascular access, breast, endocrine. It's applied in so many more fields that the substrate that we start with is probably better than when we were coming through.
Yeah, just to comment on that, I do think that ultrasound is being used substantially more even at a medical school level. So they're being taught as med students how to understand ultrasound just in terms of visualizing certain things. They're not getting 100% proficient at it, but I think it's only going to change the curve in terms of how comfortable people are with it, and then also the numbers of true positives and true negative scans as opposed to indeterminate.